Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Are we setting the tone? Good evening, Northern California.
It's live.
It's week three of 2023. Feels like it was 6 months ago.
I was going to say, wow, that's it?
It's only been 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Right. So good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel and James live from the
studios in downtown Reading.
Yeah, metropolitan Reading. Where it's in the 60s?
Yeah, 67.
67, very good. Yep. And there may be a sprinkle or two next week, but I think this is going to be it.
And it is, what, Wednesday, the 25th of 2023?
Like I said, week three of 2023.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve feels like it was 6 months ago.
It does. You know, that's so weird because, you know, like we've discovered on air for a really long time, I'm not real great when it comes to time. Like, I get it, but I can easily forget it. It just kind of just goes away, and it's just more of a feeling for me. And that feeling is January 2023 was, 6 months ago.
Yeah, right? Well, I think everybody's relationship with time has changed over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. The whole concept of time, I think, is always very interesting. It's kind of a supernatural thing, right? Sometimes I like to have this pondering thought of, are you moving through time or is time the one that's moving?
Mm.
Mm, right?
Those are big questions,
right,
Nigel.
Big questions for, you know, maybe we'll save them for the third month of 2023. So Shasta County is making national news.
Oh, are we?
Yes. Don't know whether you saw that yesterday, but our new board of supervisors voted to.
Oh yeah, somebody sent me an article.
Terminate the contract with Dominion Voting Systems.
Oh no, that's not what at all I was thinking you had were going to say, because they also did something else too. That.
But they did a few things.
They've done a few things just recently. Yeah, well, but that's a big one.
That's a big one. So it's the first county in California.
Is it?
Yep.
So is this something that's happening a lot in other parts of the country?
I think other parts. Yeah, there's a few counties around the country.
What does that actually mean? That means that they are going to.
We're
going to
see where it goes.
Mm.
But there was obviously a big topic of contention.
Mm-hmm.
That word Dominion is kind of a
it's a bad word.
Bad word. But I think we need to be.
Believe it or not, whatever it is, the controversy has made it a bad word.
Yeah. But anyway, so they voted yesterday to terminate the contract with Dominion Voting Systems and to no longer use them in our elections. We'll see where it goes, but that made national news, and so.
I'll have to look that one up because I'd like to read that. Also, national news, not that we've made it, but interestingly enough, I didn't even know something was happening either, but there are, I want to say, what is it? I can't remember.
Are you thinking? You're tired.
That I am very tired, and it's difficult for me to think. But,
so no deep thoughts when you're tired.
Yeah, right. That there is a big movement also now for counties and sheriffs throughout the country that are transitioning or changing their counties into, what do you call them?
Assemblies.
Second Amendment. I'm sorry, this is totally dumb because this should be totally easy. Sanctuary counties.
For Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
And already there's like 60%+ of all counties already in the United States as a whole have made that transition,
mm-hmm.
have come out, which that's a big number.
Well, so I personally don't.
And to date, from what I saw as of last night, California does not have a single county that has made that transition.
Well, I think that'll change, too.
Well, that's why I was saying, because if you're going to get rid of the voting boxes, then,
yep,
you know, what's next?
True. That's true. Well, I thought for a moment maybe we'd make the news for the downtown parking situation, because it's created such an uproar.
It always has, and it just seems like it's on a roller coaster, right? And, like, it was a little quiet for a while, and now we're on a free fall again. And people are screaming and running around like chickens with their head cut off with parking downtown again.
And because the city of Reading decided to put in the paid parking,
mm-hmm,
for its lots or its own property,
mm-hmm,
and of course, you know, it created all kinds of backlash.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided.
Yes.
So I decided. You know, last week we.
Do you know how it works though? Because I have seen them. They're not putting meters at every space. It's like either at one side of the end of the block or wherever there's like a blue little tower.
Yeah.
How does that work? I mean,
I don't know, to be honest with you. I really don't know. The one job I would not like to have in Reading now is that poor guy who's the new parking enforcement.
Mm-hmm. I think, though, it's all digital. And that's the thing that I don't know.
He has a nice little.
He does have a cart?
He has a nice little car. And,
I didn't see that part.
Around doing the parking enforcement. I think there's some wiggle room though. I think you have until the 24th.
Okay.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll start issuing tickets.
I'm gonna have to get a ticket to start using those boxes because I do not have the energy to try and like download the app and like remember my license plate and like put it in. I don't have the energy for that.
Oh, so that's how it works.
Yeah.
So you download an app. I knew it was all kind of digital.
I think so. Or maybe I might be wrong.
No, I'm pretty sure there is something involved in that. And so it's license plate driven. So you would download, you'd park, you'd go to the app, you'd register that you've parked there.
Yeah.
And then you have 2 hours to park there and
they take out the $50.
And then they would use driving around, identify that, yes, you know, they could look at their electronic device and say, oh, yes, this license plate number has been paid, and this is how much time's left. And if they come back by and your 2 hours have expired and you haven't re-upped, I guess, with the app, then you get a ticket. Yeah, and then I wonder, can you pay your ticket right through the app?
Yeah. Well, so I don't know if you remember, but for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about AI.
Yep.
Right? And ChatGPT, and I'm going to stay on that horse. If you haven't checked out ChatGPT yet.
And it hasn't, and that whole phenomena has not slowed down at all.
Has not slowed down.
It's actually it's getting even more explosive.
Right? So you got to check out ChatGPT because it is the next generation, even though it's in beta, supposedly, mm-hmm, which means there's already a fully developed version in existence.
They're testing the full version.
But it came out today, and I'll get to the answers here in a minute, but I did ask ChatGPT for some creative ideas to beat a parking ticket. Mm-hmm.
So you have 2 minutes, the first break, so pose your question, and then we'll break.
Yeah,
well,
that
was
it. So give me some creative ideas to beat a parking ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But ChatGPT, just so you know, it actually passed a part of the medical licensing examination.
Yes, I've heard.
So
I've also heard that it also can handle a lot of lawyer stuff.
Yes, GPT-3 passed the evidence and tort section of the bar exam in a matter of minutes. So here you are going to school for 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, and you get I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And along comes this little AI interface, and you just plug it in and pass.
Yep.
How weird is that?
He's so cute.
so it passed the also passed the MBA exams and license requirements and all that kind of stuff. So it's coming.
Frightening.
So I did ask it for some creative ideas. To beat a parking ticket, and we'll come back with that.
Yeah.
And I know we're not supposed to do this because it's illegal, but if you have any good ideas on how to beat a parking ticket.
Hey, now you know what? There's this. Yeah, this is America, right?
No, there are ways. There are ways.
But, I mean, my point is that, you know, people, there are smart people out there that learn the system and figure out how to get around it.
If you know how to mark up your parking ticket, right? You can do that.
And that's what just keeps our laws progressing, is once you find a hole, then they'll try to patch it, then you find the next one.
So if you have a creative idea about how to beat a parking ticket, yeah, it's kind of fun to call.
Yeah, you can call
530-605-4567. 605-4567. Well, the easiest answer is to just not park there, but yeah. So that doesn't count.
Or just not pay the ticket.
Just not pay the ticket. Yeah, but then you get into trouble. But there are creative ways to actually.
But there are some people that like, that's the space they like to live in.
Yeah.
Right? It's conflict. Right. Not me.
No, not you.
Well, I mean, there are moments for sure, but not.
So if you have any creative ideas or some advice on how to beat a parking ticket, give us a call, 530-605-4567. And we're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back.
Cool.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Back at Evening Northern California, this is Nigel and James.
Good evening.
How's it going? January 25th, whatever temperature it is. So we have this this little ongoing situation with the downtown parking situation.
Mm.
Wouldn't it be easier just to have parking meters, just regular parking meters like we normally do?
I don't know.
Anyway.
It's technology. Hey, look, we're sitting here asking a robot. Yeah. Or a chatbot to give
well, us I thought it'd be interesting
criminal to elements of how to get out of a ticket, and yet we're still paying some kind of a chatbot box at the end of the street to pay our ticket or pay our parking.
Well, I just thought it'd be interesting. I mean, disclaimer: I do put quarters in the parking meters. but I thought it'd be interesting because we've been talking about AI for so long now. And chat GPT. So I thought, well, let's ask it some questions. Creative ideas to beat a parking ticket. And number one, it says to gather evidence, take pictures of the parking sign of your vehicle to prove that the parking ticket is unjustified. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. check for errors. Look for mistakes on the ticket, such as the wrong license plate, number or location. That's not really creative. Right? But we'll get to one. number 3, it says, contest the ticket. You know, just contest it. file an appeal.
And, you know, and that actually, I guess, in some cases can work. I will tell you, though, very interesting, my little caveat here, sidebar. My son, one of my twins, got his first speeding ticket not too long ago, where, let me see, how did it all work out? So he was over here on 44 coming west, and he had to speed up to get around a truck to get the off, you know, the Park Marina exit. And so he, you know, sped up, got in front of the other truck, and got off. And as soon as he did, Highway Patrol pulled him over. And the Highway Patrol, he said, was very nice, but gave him a ticket and said to him basically in a roundabout way, you know, this is your first ticket, blah, blah, blah. This is, you know, this is what you did wrong. I know that, you know, it's okay to speed up and get around, but it was excessive speed, I guess. But he said, I don't want you to have to waste your money with the ticket. So go to what you need to do is go to court and contest it. And, you know, kind of the thing was, is that he's not going to show up. So it won't stick kind of a thing. And so he's being a nice guy, but making him go, have to struggle through a little bit of process. So he, you know, went online, did what the officer said. He had to write this whole disclaimer identifying, you know, had to draw something showing what streets and all this. Anyway, long story short, when it was all said and done, the court was like, yeah, too bad. You're still going to have to pay the ticket. Mm. He still got charged, even though the officer told him what to do. And so he was really bummed out because he was like, well, if I'd have known, I'd just pay the damn ticket, right?
Yep. So he got on, he was on the hook.
So
the
he
hook
had to pay,
ticket.
He was on the hook for the ticket, and then he had to go to traffic school. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Well, here's number four. This was actually kind of interesting because we asked AI for a creative idea to be a parking ticket. And it said, number four, it said, look for legal loopholes. Research the parking laws in your area to see if there are any exceptions or loopholes that may apply to your situation. So then I asked it, give me an example of a loophole, a legal loophole to beat a parking ticket. And he said, looking for loopholes is illegal and immoral. And we're not going to give you legal loopholes. But you just told me to go look for a loophole.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't give me any.
That's probably part of its built-in protection.
Yeah. It said the rest are kind of boring, but it said reach out to the issuing agency, contact the parking enforcement agency to see if they are willing to work with you. I think Reading's should be reasonably easy to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so.
Yeah.
However, you know, times have changed, budgets are tight, tickets, in my opinion, are just a revenue stream, right? I mean, because realistically. Yeah, every ticket you write, somebody's getting paid.
That's right.
Right, so.
Well, they're getting paid regardless. Even when you pay for the parking, they get paid. And when you.
Yeah.
So the city's going to get paid regardless.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would imagine it's a line item on revenue intake that shows, you know, just auto violations in general all the way across the board.
So something else is interesting today that, did you follow the Paul Pelosi situation?
I did. Well, I mean, I did as much as I could.
Where somebody, quote unquote, broke into his house.
Mm-hmm. David DePap, I think his name was.
It was kind of weird. So, San Francisco judge has ordered the long awaited police body cam footage
released.
To be released.
Which I think should be and should, but I just imagine it probably was this long. It took them this long to doctor it all. Right? Yeah. Like, you're going to have to do a really good job. So you needed this much time to really work
it
out.
The footage is going to show that it happened in the Bahamas, right?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, and the funny thing is that I also watch some channels on YouTube that pop up for me, and there's a guy that's called the Salty Cracker or Salty, I don't know, something like that. And mm-hmm. he is just over the top. But he was talking about... So the young gentleman that collapsed and had the heart attack or whatever on the field. So, you know, they've said he's fine and everything's fine. And now they're showing him, but they're not.
Right. He's in
a
hoodie.
And you never see his face. And, you know, he's doing jumping jacks or whatever. Push-ups or whatever. And then you see him like behind glass. giving the heart sign during the game, or it's snowing, whatever, but you can't see through the glass. You just see a figure, and it's like, oh, he's not being interviewed. He's not talking and all these things. And so people are like, well,
that doesn't count.
I know. I'm like, he's fine. Well, if he's fine, let me see him. Right. Like, but he's driven up to the game in a cart that's closed with hoodie on, and nobody can see him. Nobody can talk to him. Nobody. It's very strange. And people are like, that's just strange.
Well, it is strange.
So his whole point of view is he's like, I think he's alive, but because the conspiracy theory is that he's not, he died. And then there's just, this is a fake person.
So this will lead to this little video that we're going to be playing.
Oh, okay.
Here. Do you have it queued up by chance? Okay. So this is going to be fun.
So I just brought this out.
You brought this out, right? So people say this is a conspiracy theory, which under normal circumstances it is. But in order to know what's happening now, you have to go back, right? You have to go back decades, right, to know what's happening now.
Mm.
So this is President Bill Clinton in 1997, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that when they announce something, it already exists, right? So this is President Bill Clinton in 1997. Go ahead.
Good morning. Would it be possible to clone
Our administration believes that there are loopholes that could allow the cloning of human beings if the technology were developed. Therefore, today I am issuing a directive that bans the use of any federal funds for any cloning of human beings. Effective immediately, no federal agency may support, fund, or undertake such activity. Of course, a great deal of research and activity in this area is supported by private funds. That is why I am urging the entire scientific and medical community, every foundation, every university, every industry that supports work in this area, to heed the federal government's example. I'm asking for a voluntary moratorium on the cloning of human beings until our Bioethics Advisory Commission and our entire nation have had a real chance to understand and debate the profound ethical implications of the latest advances. As we gain a fuller understanding of this technology, we must proceed not just with caution, but also with a conscience. By insisting that not a single taxpayer dollar supports human cloning, and by urging a moratorium on all private research in this area, we can ensure that as we move forward on this issue, we weigh the concerns of faith and family and philosophy and values, not merely of science alone. Thank you very much.
That's a weird thing to hear him talk like that again.
That's 1997. So what does that tell you?
That in 1997, we probably already had the ability to do some type of cloning.
Right. Do you remember Dolly the sheep?
Oh, yeah.
So, right, and so here he is talking about the cloning of human beings,
mm-hmm.
and that he's basically admitting that private companies are already doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not me saying it. That's former president of the United States.
Yeah. Well, and here's the whole thing right now, right? I mean, you know, believe it or not, or whatever your position is that you believe, I mean, Dr. Fauci has kept repeatedly saying there was no gain of function, but yet the whole kind of workaround
loophole
is that it was being done somewhere else.
That's right.
Right, being funded by us, but somewhere else to get around those maybe laws that have like what he.
So
had just
what
said.
I'm trying to get at too, though, is that mm-hmm. there's already chatter online that this football player, that the one in the hood,
uh-huh.
that this is a stand-in or a clone or whatever.
Yeah.
And under normal circumstances, you say, well, that doesn't count. that's stupid. But here's Bill Clinton in 1997.
Yeah.
Acknowledging that it exists and that the technology exists.
I could see it as a stand-in but not a clone. I mean, right. Unless you have gone so far where you can clone somebody and age them in well, 3 weeks.
It's a fun rabbit hole to go down.
Because his clone would be an infant.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of fun stuff out there to research. It's a fun rabbit hole because
I have to move my glass of water because it is so weird. But the table shakes and I'm getting flashes of light from the lights above.
That's your clone.
And it keeps distracting me. Like my phone is going off and it's
well,
just reflection.
Probably, dude.
Reflection in the water cup.
So anyway, I was just bringing that up because that is a topic of conversation now. And it's happening more and more.
I actually remember that speech or that objective that he sent. But I just, even at that age, I recognize how dumb it was. I mean, great, whatever he was doing and what he believed in at that point was awesome. But he's asking for a voluntary stop from the, you know, non-governmental community.
Which means it already exists.
So. Yeah, but I mean, like, these people, that if this is their job, right, and they're deep into research and spent millions on this technology and all that stuff, none of them are going to stop.
No, of course not. No.
Yeah, we've spent $40 billion on research. We better stop.
I think Liam has a clone. Anyway, this is the end of our first half hour.
Oh, gosh. We'll that was fast.
2 minutes.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, The Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Yeah. The Illuminati knows the answers, taking bone samples to clone rappers. Put the artists in prison to silence their vision, genetic copies going home after. They look different, eyes shifted, smile missing, skin lifted, it's scientific. If they can't control you, they erase the old you, get your duplication to enforce the message. They clone Gucci, clone Kodak, clone Eminem, yeah, raps is encore, know that. Cloning rappers when they overdose to keep making money from producing more tracks.
What you feeling there?
Goosebumps.
Yeah, so that's Tom McDonald.
Oh, that is Tom.
That's Tom McDonald. You like Tom?
I like Tom McDonald. I think he's super cool.
So,
boy, that just look at my I have like every hair on my body is standing up right now.
Yeah, he has a great song called "Clone Rappers," cloned rappers, and I thought it was kind of fun because
sometimes when just somebody puts words together, right, and they kind of just let it flow out like that, it's kind of scary because they're like that you could make something up that's lyrically sound in the regards to a song, but then when you listen to the words and what he's saying, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, our world's just a crackpot.
yes. Well, so I spent some time on that, the whole cloned rapper bit, and it's pretty interesting how many rappers even, how many rappers, you can find them, you can find the actual interviews where they explain the whole process of what happens and how it happens.
I'll have to go in and check that out.
Yeah.
Because he's very, I mean, I don't watch a lot and listen to his music. I'll listen to a song when it comes out a couple of times just because I'm really curious about what he's put together because it's powerful. And music has always been a huge train and driver for, you know, any kind of political, social justice, whatever it is. It's, you know.
Well, I was, to be honest with you, I could never get into rap. Mm-hmm. And then, but then when I came across Tom McDonald, I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Right? And he's beating.
It's like a political mantra. Like it's almost like a you know, somebody on behind the podium, but being able to rhyme it all. But I mean, my point is too. Also, I've watched him just on his YouTube channel where, you know, he just is speaking to you. He's at his home,
right.
And he's just sharing information, and it's very interesting how he's been treated in so many different ways as far as his music and it being picked up and played and, you know, all that, or not.
Well, he does not have a major record deal, and he refuses to sign the deal. Mm-hmm. So he's one of those independent peeps who's actually making it.
Yeah.
And he's doing really well.
Yeah, I mean, jeez.
You know?
It's unbelievable how the non-mainstream is being challenged.
So I wonder how many young people listen to that and have no clue what he's talking about. Like me, when I was a young
yes.
whippersnapper in my teens, and I was listening to all the
back in the 1400s.
Back in the 1400s, and I was listening to all this rock and roll stuff, which is amazing.
Yeah,
but I had no clue what they were singing about.
Well, and there
and then I found out
big periods of time where that all that music, rock and roll, all that folk, all that stuff was all driven by politics. You know, Simon and Garfunkel and, you know, just the words that they were trying to express about society at the time.
Yeah. Fun thing. So do you play any instruments, Mr. James Mazzano?
I do not anymore. I used to play in middle school with my best friend, Gil, in Visalia, California. We used to play trumpet in the middle school band. So I did learn how to, you know, basically read music and play our trumpet, and then at some point put it down and just let it go. And I was wishing it was kind of like a bike, like you could just pick it up and go again. But now I look at a piece
so
of music.
Why is it when you say trumpet, and when I hear the word trumpet, I think of this one time in band camp?
That's a flute.
Oh, was that a flute?
That was a flute.
So...
Yes, Nigel. Trumpet would be rather large.
Oh, well, for some reason I go back to that one little thing.
Yes, we all do, but it was a flute.
Oh, okay. Well, I like...
Once at band camp, I had a trombone.
Well, I like the trumpet idea better.
Yeah. I have all kinds of pictures in my head.
For some reason, I keep thinking of a trumpet.
Nope.
No?
No. Anything? When I think of a trumpet, it's funny, two things come to mind. I think of heaven and like coming through the gates and the horn sounding trumpet, but I know that would be like those long things, which is not a trumpet. But then I also think of like mariachi music.
True. True. Somebody saw some of those videos online for people hearing trumpet sounds in the sky.
Those are, now I watch those because they are just weird to me.
Well, so I always thought, you know, if it was just one video.
Oh, they're all over the world.
You can.
And they're so loud.
If there's one video of trumpet sounds in the sky,
mm-hmm.
then maybe over the next couple of minutes, Liam can find them to trumpet sounds in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
If it was one video, I'd say, yeah, you can make that up. But when there's like 10 or 15 at the same time, right?
And they're outside recording with their phones, and it literally sounds like it's, you know, like through the whole atmosphere.
I think that would freak me out.
Oh, it would freak me out big time, too. Because isn't there something biblically that talks about those kind of sounds, right?
It kind of means time's up.
I know.
Gather your belongings.
Right? I know.
You have about 60 seconds.
Yeah.
You know.
So what are those horns that when you go into a castle or that it's not a bugle. It's the long one, right? And it usually has a flag hanging from it, too. I think of it very much in, like, royalty. And there's no moving parts. I think it's all sound from your lips. Like, you know, boop, 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 boop,
I'm
boop,
sure
boop.
There's a couple hundred people listening right now who know exactly where it is.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is that thing? I can't think. My head is, oh, he found something. He's got the thumbs up.
You found
the
something?
From the
I found it, yeah. It's like a compilation. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want me to play it?
Yeah, so these are sounds. These are sounds that people have captured
trumpets,
on recording devices.
Not at Bandcamp, but
yeah. Some of them are very creepy.
Yeah, I was just thinking some of them are, like, intense.
And now, imagine this. This is, the sound you're hearing is somebody recording sounds that they're outside of their house with their phone up in the air. And these noises are being heard all around for miles. People are hearing this. I mean, I'd be terrified.
This is another video.
That the glass dome was caving in on you. Gosh. Some of them. That sounds like a dragon flying above you.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, the invisible world is more real than the visible world. So, I personally, you know, when you start looking at some of these things like Project Blue Beam and some of these other things, like, nothing would surprise me.
Yeah.
Anymore.
No, and that's the thing is like everything in the world right now, you don't really even know. There's so many freaky things going on everywhere that you just kind of now go, well, that's interesting, instead of it being like, that's impossible.
Yes. And so we are.
And a good place to watch that kind of stuff is Joe Rogan's
podcast.
Yeah. Like, he brings just really interesting random people on from all over the place just to talk about, like we're doing right now, just to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what anybody believes. It's just to be able to talk about it. So interesting. I know that we have to go again to a break in a few minutes, but like, I sent you that thing that was really funny because everybody on the channel knows that one of our mascots through California Adventure District is Bigfoot. He's our, he's our local celebrity in the wild. And, I have on YouTube found several channels by people here in the greater Northern California, Redding, McLeod, Mount Shasta, that have channels that they actually interview people and their experiences. And I sent it to you, Nigel, the other day, and it was just very unique where father and son, it was a snow day. They had canceled school. The dad had his work canceled, and he was like, hey, you know what, let's go sledding. So they grabbed the sled out of the garage, went wherever they were. They were locals up in the area of Mount Shasta or somewhere up there, McLeod, Mount Shasta. And so they, they knew places to go sledding that were kind of off the beaten path. And, so the story goes, this is, the son recounting it years later, saying that, you know, him and his dad were up there and they were sledding and taking turns and coming down together. And, all of a sudden, you know, they were at the top of the hill and they were taking a break or whatever. And the son said, I looked over at my dad and I could see my dad's gaze and stare was very hyper focused on something. And he said, I was trying to figure out what he was looking at. And so they were up on the hill looking down at the bottom where the tree line was. And the father had been tracking something that was moving behind the tree line. And he said, you know, at one point there was a figure and then it came into a clearing and stopped and stared at them. And then,
they both peed their pants.
Yeah, right. And then at some point it hunched down onto like all fours and started moving very quickly up the hill, towards them. And, there was a sense of panic. And I guess the father put the kid on the sled and he got on it and they decided to sled down the hill. And as they were coming down the hill, this entity, this creature came right for them. And it was kind of coming up the hill and then obviously coming across the face of the hill because they were coming down. And the kid said, you know, he had covered his eyes because he was terrified. And then he was kind of peeking out of between his fingers. And he said that, you know, they were close enough that this creature could have reached out and just, you know, grabbed them and knocked them off the sled. And it didn't. And he said, I remember seeing its face. And they got to the bottom of the hill and the dad got the kid up, kind of basically threw him off the sled and was telling him to kind of move towards the car. And as they were doing that, some military vehicles had come up the hill and were there. And the kid, they were asking the father questions, and they turned to the kid to ask the kid questions. And the kid was going to say something, and he said, I could see in my father's eyes that I was not to speak. Like, you know. And so they got to leave and left the car, but then later the dad and son were talking, and what they were asking basically was where, what direction this creature had gone in, and the father admitted to the son that he told them a falsity to lead them off the trail, because the father said, even while we were sledding and as afraid as we were when we came by this creature, he said, I, for some reason, in my heart and in my mind, could feel that this creature was looking for some type of help, he said. And so I felt obligated to be a distraction for it so that it could get away. But we've talked with other Bigfoot people in the past that have said when they're looking at you or they see you or whatever, that there's almost some type of a communication into your own mind by them. You know, so that's maybe what he picked up. But he said, you know, it was one of the most bizarre experiences of his life as a child. And he said, you know, he can remember it as clear as day.
So there's lots of those kinds of experiences here.
Yeah.
Well, throughout the country, but especially here in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bigfoot and a bunch of other things. And, you know, they will tell you that. If you're quote unquote lucky enough to see one, just know that they've seen you way before you see them.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
No.
It's interesting stuff. All right, end of section number 3.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
See, this is the kind of song I don't want to start talking, right? So good evening, Northern California, January 25th.
Well, even when this young buck in the studio is putting these together and he's bopping around back there like that, it's good music.
Yeah. So I have a good Cheap Trick story. Saw them a bunch of times in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
So. Did you play a trick on them that was cheap?
No. No, but they did. They were actually really good. I went to a guitar center, a guitar competition in Vegas, and all these young guitar players, and they were just...
Do you play an instrument?
I do. Okay. Did. Guitar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I had my own AC/DC cover band for a while.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I mean, I knew that, but I didn't know if you were just the beautiful, big, blonde-haired...
No. We were
rock
the,
star in the
we
front.
Were, we were the epitome of Spinal Tap. I don't know if you remember Spinal Tap. We were definitely a comedy of errors.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great. But so our Cheap Trick at this, they were having this guitar shredding competition where they had all these young guitar players playing for a prize. So let's say there were 10 of them and in succession, and they were all shredding and playing like, you know, 1,000 miles an hour. This stuff, and one of them won, and then Cheap Trick headlined the show, and they walked out, and Rick Nielsen says, "We're Cheap Trick. Less notes, more filling." I thought it was great.
Wow. Right.
So, so important question. So we just said during the break, because through California Adventure District, the website, every day, every day I get, because we're number one, we're on page one, quote unquote, for Bigfoot sightings. So we get a lot of visitors every day. Looking for Bigfoot stuff, and every day I get people messaging, sending in a little form saying they
want to camp.
They want, they're dying to come. They, like, from all over the world, they want to come here and go have that Bigfoot experience, kind of like what you were just saying.
Yeah.
So you just said parts of you would want that experience.
Oh yeah, if I could get in writing that I wasn't going to die.
But you have this fancy electric bike now. Do you think the electric bike could outrun?
No. I've actually, you go on YouTube and watch videos of people riding their bikes in the forest, and then they'll see a bear, and right, they'll start pedaling like heck, and you see the bear, I mean, it is right on them. Like, you know, obviously if you can just hang on long enough, they'll get tired, because they can't sustain that, but no, I don't even want to be that close.
Well, we're in the California Adventure District, and we'll be participating again in Bigfoot Days this year. So,
yeah.
You sure you don't want to have the Bigfoot experience before then? Like, just go be alone with Bigfoot in the forest just for a day or two, a night or two?
I mean, I would do it, but yeah. I mean, you know, like I say, I always wish something cool, like, you know, I see a spaceship land, and they take me up and talk to me and bring me back, but they don't hurt me. Right? Same. Bigfoot, I see him. He puts his arm around me, takes him to the den, meets the family, right?
Couple selfies.
Yeah. And then I'm totally cool.
Well,
somehow I just don't see it working out like that for me. You know?
Well, they may recognize you as kin, right? Right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting how many people do come to this area. For those who are listening, that, you know, this is like considered one of the Bigfoot capitals of the world, and the supernatural stuff that happens. So people come here all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, they do.
To go look for the weird stuff in the forests, including up in Mount Shasta, like you just said. People actually go up there looking for
weirdness,
the weirdness and the Lemurians and all that kind of stuff.
Aliens, Lemurians, Bigfoot.
The last Bigfoot, one of the last Bigfoot quote unquote experiences here was in Lassen County.
And, a few months ago, you talked about
end
that.
Of August, I think.
Yeah.
It was a family that was camping, and then.
I wonder what the percentages of people, if they've talked about it or they keep track of anything, that if you have had a sighting, how many of them no longer want to go into the forest?
All of them. All the accounts that I've read.
They just don't want to go back.
That I've read and seen of people having, you know, what they describe as actual Bigfoot encounters, or encounters with it in the forest, is that they never want to go back.
Yeah, because I have trepidation going into the water deep in the ocean. The ocean scares me, right?
Because of Jaws.
Yes, I was truly affected by Jaws as a child. My aunt and uncle took me to it, and you know, I'm glad that they did, because I mean, it was obviously iconic, but it stuck with me. I don't like my feet dangling in the water if I can't see anything. But I would tell you exactly that. If I was in the ocean and I had an experience where there was a shark really close and it scared me, you would never see me back into the ocean like that. Never.
Well, so
I see those YouTubes of the surfers, professional surfers, and they're sitting on their board ready to catch a wave, and all of a sudden they're knocked off their board by a big shark, and you know, see them scrambling and stuff, and I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah, but knowing me, I wouldn't even know the difference between a shark and a dolphin. So even if a dolphin stuck its fin out.
I've had that experience, and that's why I know that I would react like that, because I actually used to, all summer long with a friend, Gil, when I lived in Visalia, his parents used to take us to Pismo Beach for the summer, and we would stay in a rental that they had or whatever it was, and we would body surf all the time. And there was a time when we were out there waiting to, you know, just putz around and catch a wave, and there were two dolphins that came up, I mean, really close to us. And I can tell you, when they popped up out of the water,
Was it like instant weight loss?
No, it was like Jesus all over. I mean, like, I was like up and walking across the water. I literally thought I was going to die. It scared me so bad.
Well, probably about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I did a sailing trip from Eureka down to Oxnard.
Oh, wow.
Six days on the
long roll
on on the ocean. Mm. Couple stops, and then
that sounds like fun.
It was interesting, mm-hmm. for sure. Totally unqualified,
yeah.
to be sailing, as was the owner of the boat. So you know, what are we doing?
I'm glad you're still here.
So am I. But that was a very interesting experience. 11 miles out. In the Pacific Ocean, like, what are we doing? Like, this is silly.
Could you see land?
But, yes.
At all time, at least?
Yes. Okay. But I must say that when we sailed, came across past Santa Cruz, we had the dolphins come up next to the boat.
That would be a fun experience.
And they swam next to the boat, mm-hmm. and they pop up and out. I'm like, thank God they're dolphins.
I know. Yeah, right. But at first... You can't really, I mean, obviously a dolphin and a shark look totally different, but to the untrained eye, if you're out on a boat and dolphins pop up at first, that's your first thing is sharks. Yeah. But I recommend it though. I mean, you know, it's amazing. The whole thing on the water. We used to do catamaraning. Somebody, when I was little, his parents had a catamaran. We'd do that outside of, Santa Barbara.
Well, speaking of water, so even here in Shasta Lake, they catch these monster sturgeon.
Yes. I will swim in the lake, but there was a time even when I was young, I was afraid something would nibble my toes, but you know, I'll go in the water.
Yeah. It is interesting how, I guess this ages us, but it is interesting how Jaws, how movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Movies in general.
That was brutal,
had an effect.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that first scene where that
if you're our age, so yeah. like mid-20s, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And you remember Jaws. So I remember going to see Jaws, and people would literally, they'd hide underneath the seats in the movie theater, right?
Yeah. Well, the part is the very first part where she swims out by herself, and she gets like literally dragged around. Like she's like a Barbie doll. That freaked me out. And then the other part was I just got so sad when that guy lost his dog and that young kid on his raft dies and the mom's looking for him in the water and you just see this tore up bloody raft mm-hmm. show up. I was like, oh God, this is horrible.
So the first Jaws movie, I'll tell you an interesting tidbit there. There's some pretty cool little documentaries about the first Jaws. Like some of that was filmed in a pool in Van Nuys, swimming pool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they made
a great job of looking real.
Right. Do you remember, I'm going to age us here again, the very first Alien?
Yeah, I love it. Love the Alien series.
That freaked a lot of people out.
The thing coming out of the chest?
Yep.
Yeah.
And just the
something living inside you. That, now that's the ultimate parent. Parasite.
Yeah. There aren't no medications for that.
No. Yes, I love that movie, and I love how it's kind of mixed in now with Predator and Prometheus. It's like this whole thing. I mean, I don't get it. I don't know. I don't understand all of it, but I love the movies. I'm a huge sci-fi space movie.
I just think this generation, Generation Z, kind of missed out on... some of the experiences we had, right?
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of cool stuff.
In the movie theater days.
Mm-hmm. There's very few movies coming out for a long
have that
time
kind of an effect.
That I actually just like. The rest of it's so boring.
Right.
Right.
Do you remember The Shining?
Oh, yeah. That was another one that was freaky.
I saw that in the movie theater as a teenager.
Yeah.
And that kind of freaked me out.
Yeah. The Possession.
But I don't think anything freaked people out as Jaws. I think Jaws...
It still freaks people out if you're young.
Yeah, maybe it's time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Gosh, that went by really fast.
That went
fast.
By very quick.
I know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're at the end of another week. We'll see you next Wednesday.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.